You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Unbelievable sports time of year. And full NFL weekend, we hope, right? We think we're going to get the doubleheader Monday and the game on Tuesday. And I guess Titans tested all negative today, so that Tuesday night game still looks like we're going to move forward. Jets, it was a false positive yesterday. So Jets-Cardinals, if that's a good thing, we'll play their game tomorrow. You can hear it starting at 11 o'clock right here on 98.7 ESPN. But today, we're going to spend a lot of time on the Yankees. Obviously, we'll do Stump Rothenberg at 10:30, and R.J. Bell is going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour. But we have to start the show with the Yankees. And I can't stand the Yankees. Ty knows it. Brian knows it. Everyone out there knows it. My goal today is to not be that guy. It's not to be the, ha-ha, look at the Yankees, another, you know, season underwhelming, should have done bad. I don't want to do that. Seriously, I don't want to do that. My goal is to just have a good conversation about the Yankees. Now, disappointed? Yeah, I think you have to be extremely disappointed. I think you have to look in words and see what this team is. I mean, guys, let's be fair. In the biggest moments for the last, you know, and you can take it big picture. You can take it small. The Yankees are a good baseball team. They're going to be in the postseason every single year. They're too good, okay? But are they built to win a championship? And the answer is they're not. I mean, the Rays are a better baseball team. And Gerrit Cole was sensational last night outside of the one hiccup on the home run to Meadows, but he was sensational last night. And Orozarena almost hit one as well, but Gardner makes the play. You know, Britton pitched well. Chapman, do you kill him for it? I mean, it's again, like last year, Altuve, this year, Brasseau. And you think of the storyline with that. This is a guy that's throwing it at his head at 102 miles an hour. And it becomes very animated. And there's a lot of anger and a lot of distrust between these two teams. And that's the guy that hits the home run in what was a great at-bat. But in all sincerity, and I mean this genuinely, my goal is not to incite the Yankees fan today. My goal is to just have an honest, upfront conversation on what happened, on what's wrong, on where you go from here, on how angry you should be. I mean, this team was built, what I do not want to hear, because I saw a lot of it on Twitter last night, and I'm not saying every Yankees fan, but what I do not want to hear and do not want to see is, well, this was a 60-game season anyway, and it's not a legitimate season. You know what? You didn't say that yesterday at 3 o'clock. You were there in the final eight teams. I don't hear excuses from anybody. And I don't want to hear excuses from anybody. I mean, the Dodgers have swept their way to the NLCS. The Rays have gotten where they want to get to. The Astros, who everyone is public enemy number one, is somehow sitting here in the American League Championship Series. That was to be your opponent. I think the Rays will have their way with them. I think the Yankees would have had their way with them. But the Yankees, again, you had three hits last night. Three hits. So again, and really, and I want this to be the theme today, my goal is not to incite the Yankees fan. It's not to get you crazy. It's not to get you angry. It's to have an honest discussion. And my honest assessment is I'd be livid because it's a wasted season. Because when we started the year, when we thought we were going to start it in March, and when we started it in late July, the conversation was this team has to be in the World Series. At a minimum, they have to be in the World Series. And let's be honest, and I will be honest with you right now, and you can get angry or frustrated or whatever you want to do. It's a statement, and I think it's factual. The Rays are a better organization than the Yankees right now. They are. You say, well, how could you say that? Beat us by a run. They do it with a third of your payroll. You're bringing in guys like Gerrit Cole. They're bringing in guys you've never heard of before. Meadows, Orozarena, right? Wendell. I mean, they bring in guys that are like, oh, let's move on from him from another team. They bring him in, turns into a star. They have guy after guy after guy that throws 97 out of the bullpen, right? I mean, their bullpen was every bit as good as your bullpen in this series. And that would frustrate me. Why? And what would frustrate me now more than maybe Tuesday is that stupid decision. And there is no one in the world that can convince me otherwise. That incredibly stupid decision. And you want to say by Cashman, you want to say by Boone, you want to say by the analytics department, whoever made that decision to take Garcia out and put Happ in when you're up 1-0 in the series and the backs are to the wall for the Rays and all the pressure's on them in the moment, it was just a horrendous job. And I really do believe that we'll look at this series 10, 15, 20 years from now, let's say, what happened? You'll say, it was that decision. That this will be the how in the world could they take Davey Garcia out of the game two, and put in J-Hap. This will be the decision series. But I think you have to be very frustrated and very angry if you're a Yankees fan. I mean, you should have been the best team in the American League. And let's be honest, at maybe 20 games into the season you were, maybe. But at no other point, the entirety of the regular season or the postseason, could you ever say the Yankees were the best team? Because let's be honest about it, guys. The Rays are a better baseball team than the Yankees. And you can say no, and you can get angry, but you know what? You had three hits last night. Three. Judge with a big hit. I think, Torres had a base hit up the middle. The Yankees did not produce last night. So you can blame Chapman. And again, I get it. I'd be frustrated with Aroldis Chapman. Who had the third hit? Ty, who had the third hit? Don't jump on you. Oh, Aaron Hicks, I think, had the third hit with two outs, right? He went the other way, and then Voit struck out. I think you have to be beside yourself. Because this was not a, you know, a couple of years ago when the Yankees went to the ALCS, you said, you know, that was almost house money. The expectation was not that they were going to win the World Series or even get to the World Series. I'm thrilled that they got there. This year was not that. This year was not a, well, if we get to the ALDS and are competitive against the Rays and lose in five, I'd be very happy. It was not. It is not. So you can try to spin it any way you want. This season was a failure. And I know it's a tough word, and to make the playoffs and to compete at such a high level and to be in these pressure-packed games year after year after year, you know, at some point you have to push through. There's decisions this season for the Yankees now. What do you do with Tanaka? Is Severino going to come back healthy? Right? I mean, there are real decisions. And by the way, and I know it's nitpicking after the fact, did I need to see Luke Voit fifth last night? I mean, Luke Voit, get Torres up in the lineup, move Voit down. Luke Voit, for the bulk of this series, has been bad. Has been bad. I mean, he ran into a home run the other night. Big shot, good for him. But he doesn't look right. Stanton up to the four spot was right. Hicks in the three spot I could do without. But I'd be angry. I'd be angry at Cashman. I'd be angry at Boone. I'd be angry at the analytics. I'd be angry at the players. I'd be angry at Chapman. I'd be angry if I was a Yankees fan today. Because you had golden opportunities, and it's the same song and dance. Yeah, but... Right? That's what it is. Cole was great. Cole gave you everything. And the Rays wanted that game. They were chirping from the jump. And you might hate the Rays, and I understand if you do, but you got to respect them. That's a baseball team. That's a $28 million payroll this year. That's a team that does it for a third of what you do it for. And they're better than you. And that's the truth. All right, Aaron Boone, after the game, I do. Let's take a listen to if he does. Do you consider this a failed Yankees season?
I hate that question every year because there's failures and successes, and no one in that room's a failure. Our goal is to win a world championship. That's what we feel like we're capable of. That's the goal when we set out way back in Tampa in spring and then summer camp, nothing changed. Entering the playoff, nothing changed. We have a team capable, I feel, of being a champion. We haven't gotten there yet. I believe in my heart we will, and we just got to keep grinding away at it.
I mean, it's a long answer saying yeah. He might hate the question. You're the manager of the Yankees. I mean, they went out there and gave you the crown jewel of the offseason to put you over the top, and it did not work. Now, Vince tweets in, quote, "I don't want to kill the Yankees," and Rothenberg proceeds to say Tampa Bay is a better organization. How is that killing the Yankees? How is that beating up on the Yankees? Tampa Bay is a better organization. They're as good as you, if not better, and proven by this series, better than you, and they do it at a third of the cost. That's not a better organization right now? You think that Aaron Boone outmanaged this series over Kevin Cash? You do? I understand being angry, and I think Ty will jump on in a couple minutes. I think he'll agree that I'm not slaughtering the Yankees. I'm not being unfair. I'm not being mean. But to sit here and tell me that the Rays are not a better organization, I think is just factually incorrect at this point. You could say that's the best organization in baseball. I mean, it's... And again, are the Yankees well-run? Yes. Are the Yankees a good team? Absolutely. But it's a lot easier when you have a great pitcher and you're like, let's just go bring him in, or let's go bring him in, or you can make any move you want. It's a lot harder to do what they're doing. You know, well, let's go get Mookie Betts, and we've got this, and we spend money on this, and that's what the Dodgers can do. We know what the Yankees can do. To do what they do, to take guys from other teams who are, for all intents and purposes, cast-off players and turn them into what they are? I mean, you think G-Man Choi is a player that would play on the Yankees? Joey Wendell's a journeyman. And somehow they find a way. Mike Zunino was a cast-off of the Mariners. Yet somehow they always find a way. Arozarena was on the Cardinals. They couldn't wait to get rid of him. So yes, I think that is a terrific organization. Tyler Glasnow was on other teams. Comes in, starts on 2 days rest. Nick Anderson, never heard of him. Diego Castillo, I mean, what they do is sensational. So yes, that's a great organization from top to bottom. And what would concern me is there's a lot of guys within that organization who are elite prospects who you haven't even seen yet. The number one prospect in all of baseball is on this team. Wander Franco. Haven't even seen him yet. So this is, they're going nowhere. And they're not intimidated by you, I'll tell you that. They look you eye to eye, and they want what you have. And it was shown last night, and it was shown this series. So would you be angry if you're a Yankees fan? Yeah, you should be. You should be. Because that was a frustrating series. Because you know what? You got too cute. You couldn't just leave well enough alone. You're up 1-0. You have Garcia. He would have been fine. No, I got to go to Hap. Oh, I have all their lefties in the lineup. You know what I'll do now? I'll go to Hap. Well, you know what now? Spend the next 6 months discussing it. Because you blew it in game two. Chapman, yes, last night, frustrating. Had a 1-0 lead. You thought Cole might get through it. Couldn't home run. But game two would be the game that would haunt me if I was a fan of the Yankees. 800-919-3776. We'll bring Ty in a minute. See what he has to say about his Yankees. And I got to be honest with you. And I scolded him already. Ty did something last night. I think Brian will concur. Ty did something last night. And I consider Ty to be a really, really, really good fan. He did something last night I cannot believe he did.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
So I have not been unfair, and I get it. You're angry, and you should be. But don't take it out on me. I've been nothing but a ray of sunshine today. And just to prove a point, let's bring him in. Everyone's favorite producer, the great Ty D. Butler, Newhouse School Communications. Good morning, Ty.
No, not a good morning. I mean, we're already off to a bad start. Not a good morning. And listen, Brian can't come back with "Alive" by Pearl Jam. I don't feel alive this morning. That is the exact opposite of how I feel.
Oh, are you gonna whine this morning too?
I'm not whining. I think I'm pretty level headed. You've always called me a rational, even keeled sports fan.
I think you are. Are you angry with the Yankees? Are you disappointed? Have like the seven steps of emotion kicked in after this series?
Now, it is a combination of the two, but I would say right now I am more angry with them. Angry.
Where does your anger stem from? Like if I was a therapist, and I'd be a terrific therapist, by the way. Let me sit back in my chair and put my feet up and take notes. All right. Ty, where does your anger stem from?
It stems from you once again failing to meet expectations. Now, if you go out there and you lose the next series to the Astros, fine. Maybe the Astros were the better team. But, Dave, I cannot have my baseball team losing to an organization with a $28 million payroll. And I don't want to hear this garbage about they're run the right way, they have young talent, and, you know, it's an excellent organization. You cannot lose to the Tampa Bay Rays. I'm sorry. When you're the New York Yankees, you can't do that. Cannot happen.
I will ask you this, and I'm being sincere. Aren't they better than the Yankees?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
The Yankees have more talent.
So you think
talent.
You lost to an inferior team?
Yes, without question.
So you think you were outmanaged? You think you were outplayed? You think all of the above?
Yes, you lost to a team that, to me, was clearly inferior. We saw that in game one. But to your point, they were outmanaged, they were outplayed, and to borrow a line from Peter Rosenberg and Ebro in the morning, congratulations, you played yourself in game two.
Oh, God.
What was that?
And like I said in the open, that would be the game that would have me pulling my hair out. I would be so angry because there was no reason for it. Yeah, you had them on the ropes. Garcia's better than Hap.
Yes.
And you think, oh, we get Hap against all these you treated Hap like it was Randy Johnson. Like, I mean, what are you doing?
It was a panic.
Jay Hap, for God's sake.
It was the first time ever that a team up in a series made a desperation move in a panic form.
Especially if you think you're better.
And it was, to me, it was the clincher. And I understand baseball, momentum is only as far as the next day's starting pitcher. If the Yankees win that game, the series is over. That was a game-clinching situation, and you put Jay Hap, whatever algorithm you use to arrive at that decision, the algorithm is broken. Burn those computers, get rid of it.
You got too cute.
You thought you were the
smartest guy in the room, against probably the smartest guy in the room. So I get it. I'm upset. Extraordinarily frustrated.
Dave, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Let me pull a Dave Rothenberg. If I told you last night was going to go this way, you would have Gerrit Cole to Zach Britton, to Aroldis Chapman. In that same game, Judge hits a home run. What do you think that the result is? We're coming on the air today and discussing what?
So you're giving me that performance from Cole.
And then I tell you, Britton and Chapman will pitch. It's three pitchers. Just Gerrit Cole, Zach Britton, and Aroldis Chapman. In that same game, Aaron Judge gets a home run.
Yeah,
the discussion today is what?
The Yankees moving on to go to the World Series because I think they would have beaten up on the Astros.
Exactly.
That would have been the discussion.
And except it wasn't. They were defeated 2-1 in yet another elimination game where they couldn't score.
Did your wife give you like a hug last night?
No. I mean, she saw me unraveling.
Does she get annoyed at you for acting like this? Or does she at least look at you and be like, oh, my husband is in a time of need. I need to be there for him?
Well, two things. In the sixth inning, I saw what was unfolding and I said, there's no way they're going to win this game. She's like,
You're one of those, huh?
She's like, babe, why are you so negative? There's a lot of game left.
Why are you so negative?
Well, because we've seen this story before. We saw it in 17. We saw it in 18. We saw it last year. It's the same old movie. I understand what's happening. I see it. The unraveling. I saw it. There was no way they were going to win that game.
I see it.
they were drawing debt. Once Gerrit Cole came out of the game, and I believe it was, the sixth inning when Luke Voit had runners on first and second, the major leagues home run champion this year.
But come on, let's be fair. This is not, either he's hurt or he's just not the same player. Because did you have any confidence when Voit was coming up in big spots in the series?
Well, he wasn't hurt enough to hit a solo home run in game four.
I'm sorry. Luke Voit should not be batting fifth on this team right
now.
He
led the majors in home runs.
Who do you want in a big spot, Torres or Voit?
Well, neither, because they both stunk it up in this. Outside of the Torres home run in Game 4, they both stunk it up.
And you know what I thought was going to call, and I hated it. I hated it. Was taking Higashioka out and putting Sanchez in.
Mike Ford.
I thought that was going to 100% cost you the game.
On what planet does pinch hitting Mike Ford make sense?
It was not a great at bat either.
Dave, I'm clearly not right today. So
clearly.
Maybe I should just go home. Brian, take over the rest of the day.
Why don't you go? You want me to make a call? Why don't you go? Honestly, you know what today should have been? Today should have been stay in bed all day, watch Cobra Kai. Like, that's what today should have been.
Hey.
What?
I'm okay with that.
let me try to arrange something. How about if you were to get his salary for the day, Brian, and you just ran away with producing and running the things here.
Wow.
Would you be fine with that?
Wow, that's I've never been in that predicament, so.
Well, how is it a predicament?
Because
it's a blessing.
It's a
salary, and you don't have to deal with Ty, who's obviously miserable today.
Yes, I'm not in a good place.
I might
place.
Have to take it and run.
Now, before we get to the calls, we're going to get to the calls in a moment. I was taken aback, would be, I think, the appropriate vernacular of what I saw last night. So I'm on Twitter. Which can be a vile place, by the way.
Yes,
vile.
As you saw last night.
Oh, my God.
Not the place you want to be.
I mean, so I tweeted out, great game, great series. And as you've heard today, I think I'm a matured version of myself, right? And I wasn't trying to incite anybody. I got the nastiest things you could ever possibly see. So we'll leave that to the side for now. I'm perusing Twitter, and I see you, Ty. And I don't want to spend a ton of time, but I was so, and I mean this sincerely, so disappointed in you. You're a Yankees fan, you're a Lakers fan. Okay, fine. And you tweeted out champs with exclamation points. Why would you do that, and when did you do that?
Well, the Lakers, at that point, Anthony Davis just converted a tip-in on a missed shot. I forget who shot
giving
it.
You a one-point lead?
One-point lead with like 23 seconds left to go. And I felt good about where I was because there was no chance that the Heat down 3-1 in the series against that stout Lakers defense was going to come back. However, to defend myself, never specified.
You know what I would respect right now from you, honestly?
What's
that? I would respect, Dave, it was a grievous mistake that
I
will never make again.
It was not, because I did not specify when the Larry O'Brien trophy was going to be handed to the Lakers. I was getting ahead of the situation. It was a foreshadowing of things to come.
Ty.
Because last time I checked,
I mean,
there's a game
disgusting.
Six tomorrow night.
Ty, it's okay to say you were wrong.
There's a game six tomorrow night, baby.
It's taken me a very long time. Maybe 44 of my 47 years, I messed up. I messed up bad. I'm really sorry.
No.
Yeah, come on, Ty. You just got to do it.
Just say, my name is Ty, and I jumped the gun.
The Lakers are winning the title tomorrow, so I feel pretty good about the tweet. You know what? I'm going to retweet it right now.
Retweet it. Retweet it and guarantee it. You're messing with the sports gods, by the way.
Yeah, those sports guys. Look what they did to my Yankees last night.
Sports god face.
I don't believe in the sports gods after what they allowed me to go through last night.
Wow. All right. I'm done with you. I can't believe it. Ryan, you lead us off. You're on 98.7 ESPN. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, Dave. I actually have 2 points, if I may. My first point being, when are the Yankees front office and Brian Cashman going to realize that, you know, this approach in the playoffs, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. The home run mentality, home run or die, not trying to get runners over.
They're not.
It doesn't work. Like, the thing that made me the happiest last year that was the Nationals winning the World Series, because they are the furthest thing from an analytic team. And I thought, hey, maybe they'll change their approach next year. It'll be a little bit different. And no, same story every year. You know, I see players come up with two strikes, and I'm like, they're going to strike out. There's no single through the middle, unless you're DJ LeMahieu, who, by the way, might not even be on the team next year.
He might not. You're right.
Which,
I mean, you have some real decisions to make now. What are you going to do with LeMahieu? Right? What are you going to do with Tanaka? What are you going to do with Paxton? Does Severino come back healthy? Like, everyone has this, and thanks for the call, Ryan, this dream rotation of it'll be, you know, Montgomery. And you like what Montgomery did, certainly. It'll be Montgomery, and it's going to be Garcia, and it's going to be Severino, and it's going to be Cole. Maybe. Outside of Cole, I think Garcia, I don't know what Severino's going to be right now. I don't think he comes back 100%, comes back to start the season. You're in the sweet spot of the Yankees needing to win a championship, and they didn't do it last year, and then they brought in the crown jewel of free agency, and they didn't do it again. So you got to be angry, and you got to be frustrated, and you have to be disappointed. You can hear it in Ty's voice. He's completely falling apart. He's not the man he was a week ago. Brian, would you not say that to say champs and then to double down on it is clearly something is happening to him?
I thought he was going to call out. I'm not going to lie. I was waiting for like Ryan or John to tell me, oh, Ty's not coming.
It's a great story. I used to work at Cablevision, and this is probably about 17 years ago. Because I'm an older man, and it's a very long time ago. And we had interns, and I answered the phone, right? You know, news, sports. Dave, I can't come in. Well, why not? Intern call, can't come in. I'm depressed. I said, what? Yeah, the loss for the Rangers last night. I'm too depressed. And I said, yeah, are you kidding me? I said, I never heard on such a thing. I said, one hand, I love the fact that you would do this, that you take sports so seriously that you're depressed over it. On the other hand, you're an intern. You can't call in depressed. He goes, I am. I can't get out of bed. I'm too depressed. I said, all right. So I call him back. I said, listen. I said, you can't do this. I said, it's unprofessional. You got to get out of bed. You got to, you know, put on some clothes and get to work. You know, you're a man. You're not a baby, not a child. He says, you know what, Dave? You're right. You're absolutely right. I'm gonna clean up, and I'll be in a little late, but I'll be in. I said, all right, good for you. Calls back 15 minutes later. Can't do it. Too depressed. Not coming in. Didn't come in. Didn't come in. Why? Depressed.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Of course I'm a Yankees
so
fan.
So why are you playing all this music which would infuriate the Yankees fan?
I don't think it like that.
No, this is like one moment and you let it get away last night.
It's just, I can't even think straight today. You know, Dave, I'm like, I almost called you Gordon for a second. That's how bad it is.
That wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, but it's just like I'm very upset because like I was watching that game and then sometimes like I have like the superstition that like I can't watch this at bat. I have to look away because I just can't. I knew what was going to happen. When I saw that home run from Chapman, given up by Chapman, I was like, there it is. I knew it was going to be.
Can we, by the way, give some incredible credit to Mike Brasso? I mean, he's down 0-2 against a guy that threw at his head at 103, and he fights back, and he fights back, and you could see him getting better and better and better in the entire at-bat, and then he unloads on the home run over left. I mean, that was a great at-bat. It really was. And I've said it before, that is a, for what they are, for how they're put together, that is a great baseball team. Their bullpen is exceptional. We talked about it. And Rick and I were trying to tell Canty, because Canty said, you know, Yankees have the advantage in the bullpen. I said, not so fast. This Rays bullpen is really good. I mean, Nick Anderson is really, really good. He came in, and that was a huge double play. Huge double play. Second pitch, LeMahieu, right up the middle. Terrific play. They turn two, and he gets out of that. Now, Judge, it's amazing, because Judge hit that baseball, and not for the life of me. That's the thing with Judge and Stanton. They're such enormous human beings. That there are balls that they hit that I think are going to be like routine flyouts and they go over the wall, and I did not think that was going to be gone, but it did. He's got such prodigious power. But again, there you go. This Rays team is great, great. Now, Ty, I do have a question for you. Not a good ALCS for you. I think it's fair to say these are the two teams that you dislike the most in Major League Baseball.
Like, you had asked me before the postseason, go through all of the permutations, what's the worst possible matchup for you?
This would be it, right?
Rays Astros.
So who do you root for in this scenario?
I struggled with this last night. Because how is it possible? You're always going to hate the team that you lost to immediately. But, I mean, I cannot root for the Houston Astros.
So, is it fair to say whoever comes out of the American League, you'll be rooting for the Dodgers or the
Braves? Oh, without question.
Like, actively rooting for the Dodgers or
the Braves. Yes, the biggest. I'm buying shirts, wearing hats. Yes, without question. You can't root for the Astros because then it delegitimizes the hate you had for them as far as, you know, them cheating. And they would not have been able to win without the cheating. Because if they're able to do it this year, it's a quote-unquote great story for them. You can't root for the Rays because, I mean, they're dancing. Did you see that mess?
Did you see what they were playing? They were playing
New York.
Yeah.
They were having
Empire State of Mind.
Dance party.
They basically were laughing at you last night.
Yes. It's embarrassing. They had a dance party. I believe it was Marley Rivera tweet out last night. Yep. They were having a dance party.
They were having a dance party to Empire State of Mind after the game, out on the field.
Makes me sick, man. It makes me sick.
So you didn't answer the question. Who are you rooting for, Rays?
I've got to go with Tampa.
That can't sit well.
I've got $28 million invested into this team. 28 million reasons
to
root for them.
If I offered you right now, I guarantee you the American League team loses in the World Series. But you cannot eat for the next 48 hours. Would you do it?
Oh, yes. I mean, that's not hard.
You cannot eat.
I can have smoothies.
No. Water.
Just straight water? Oh, absolutely.
The next meal you can have is 9:40 a.m. on Monday morning.
I'm doing it. Sign me up immediately.
At what point you think you don't feel well? Some point tomorrow, right?
At maybe like 4:30 tomorrow as I'm sitting in this studio and RJ's, you know, eating that salad that smells so good during the Jets game, at that point,
you'd fall apart.
It's a little difficult.
If I said you have to have a water only diet for 10 days and then the Jets win the Super Bowl, would you try that?
For 10 days?
10 days.
Is that even possible?
Well, we'd find out.
No, I'd be razor thin. Listen.
Would you do it?
10, yes. I would try. I don't know how successful I'm going to be, but I would try.
Yeah, I respect you.
The decision is easy to, you know, go into it. You just don't know if you're going to make it through.
Yeah, if you offer me a 10-day water diet with the Giants to win the Super Bowl, I would absolutely.
I mean, you need a 10. I mean, maybe we should offer you that more often because you need it.
Could you imagine me? I'd look like Brad Pitt on the other side of this thing.
Compared to what you look now.
How much weight you think you lose if you go water for 10 days?
Oh, a significant amount. You can lose. I mean, it depends on if you're exercising, maybe 15 to 20.
How can you exercise if you're on a water-only diet?
You can still do it.
Oh, stop it. You'd pass out.
Yeah, but, I mean, you got to try. I think you'd
be like
think
the Gandhi of the sports world.
Yeah, I think I would be, if I were on a 10-day water diet, I'd be able to exercise. I mean, push-ups and pull-ups, come on.
No, I don't think you could. You'd be so fatigued, you would be able to do it.
Yeah, I would.
No, you wouldn't. All right, Kevin Cash, the Rays manager on beating the Yankees. Here he is.
Hey, look, that was hands down the greatest moment I've been a part of in baseball. There's been some great ones, but for what that meant to this team, how we got there, that matchup, pretty special. You know, a lot went into that game, but for Mikey to come up there in that situation and just come up as big as he possibly could.
Sensational job by the Rays, and they should be happy, and they are, and rightfully so. They earned it. They deserved it. They've been the best team in the American League all year long. They fell behind 1-0. Whatever your situation is, your opinion on what happened in Game 2, they win 2, they win 3. They're facing arguably the best pitcher in certainly the American League, maybe baseball, whatever you want to say as far as Gerrit Cole is concerned. They get a huge run off him, and then they get to Chapman. So not even from a Yankee standpoint, from the Rays standpoint, hats off to them. That's a heck of a baseball team. It's a heck of an organization right now. My guy, Marvin in the Bronx. Good morning, Marv. You're on 98.7.
I got more seniority than Ty. I've been a Yankee fan since 1964. I was so upset. I got in my car, and I drove to Yankee Stadium. I just sat there for a while.
Let me digest this for a moment.
Now, first off, Dave, let me tell you something.
We have a beautiful conversation. You got into your car, drove from your home to Yankee Stadium, and just sat there for hours.
I was so upset. I haven't been this upset since 1980 when Brett hit the home run on Gossett in 2001 with Mariano. All right, I got in my car and I drove over to Yankee Stadium. And I sat there for a while just staring at the building. That's how upset I was because I didn't want to take it from my wife. And I'm going to tell you something, Dave. All those haters out there, they will live to eat these words, all right? The Yankees will win a championship. And for you, you're surreptitiously gloating. I don't care what anybody
Marv,
says.
Marv, I did not do anything today.
You can try to be somebody all you want, but I know a con artist when I see one.
Oh, my God. Why should I not? Why should I not taunt you and mock you and make fun of you and all those things? Because you think I'm doing it anyway.
A better team?
I think the Rays are a better team. I think they're a better team, and I think they're a better organization. Yes.
All right, you will live to eat those words.
No, I'm not now.
Okay, you're not doing it now. But you know what? We will get to the promised land.
Maybe you will. But Marvin, you're being a baby, honestly. You're being a baby, and I'll tell you why. And you know I love you, but you're being a baby. Because right now, as we sit here, on October 10th, 2020, and I can't believe we're still in this godforsaken year. Yeah, the Rays are a better team and a better organization than the Yankees. And I'm not saying the Yankees won't be better next year, and I'm not saying the Yankees won't win 4 World Series in a row. But right now, I stand by that. The Rays are better, Marv.
Well, I'll tell you this. They'll be crushed by Houston.
I'll root for Houston because
of Dusty Baker.
You're wrong. So you are rooting for Houston in this series?
Because I can't – they're dancing about playing this State of Mind. Well, how classless is that?
They hate you.
What did you say, Dave?
They hate you.
So what? I mean, show some class.
They can't stand the Yankees. Show the some Yankees class. Your closer's throwing 103 miles an hour at the head of one of their players.
That's baseball.
Oh, come on, Marv. Marv, I love you. I can't continue this conversation. Marv's one of my favorites. Marv sounds like a petulant child today. First of all, I'm not inciting anything. I think you guys are on edge and you're taking it like that, but I'm not. You'll know when I incite. You'll know when I incite. I'm not perfect, but I'm not doing anything now. And to sit here and be shocked that the Rays would dance on the grave of the Yankees, they can't stand you. You saw the way they were acting in inning one? You saw the way Cole reacted when he got out of it? By the way, how big time was that? Because he did not have it. He was flexing at the back of the mound. His pitch count was to the high 20s. He was behind 3-0. And to go strike one, strike two, strike three was big time stuff. Big time stuff. He was great. He was. He was better last night than he was in game one. You win game one, he wasn't great. You lose game five, he was. I mean, he wasn't perfect. The home run to Meadows certainly hurt you a lot. But the Yankees lost last night because their bats didn't come through. That's the truth. And if you think that I'm inciting you, you don't know what inciting is.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Chapman deals, and another fastball, and Brasso hits it to left field. It's deep. It's gone! Mike Brasso hits it out for the Rays. And they have taken a 2-1 lead here in the bottom of the eighth inning.
This is another tough loss, especially to a division rival. And I look back through this whole series, countless opportunities we had to, really change the outcome of the series, and we just weren't able to capitalize. And I take full responsibility for that, especially being, a leader on this team.
I've been a Yankee fan since 1964. I was so upset. I got in my car and I drove to Yankee Stadium. I just sat there for a while.
In the biggest of moments, the last decade, they just have not risen to the top.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, thank you, Brian. A little Van Halen. I mean, just another one of these 2020 weeks, right? The great Eddie Van Halen passing away. Yesterday, Whitey Ford passing away. It's just, this is the year that does not stop. It really is, and we joke about it, and it's tongue-in-cheek. It is just, it's brutal. With the passings, with the situation, with what's going on in this country, it is just, it's very, very difficult, but we move on and we persevere, and that's what we do. 800-919-3776, and it's another one of these seasons for the Yankees where you look at and you just kind of shake your head and say it happened again, where we had golden opportunities and we let it slip away. I voted in the poll, by the way, Ty.
Let's
hear it. You
care
to guess where I voted?
I think you will go, well,
by the way, let me just let everyone know that Ty put a beautiful poll up today.
What's Ty's Twitter?
Ty's Twitter, I believe, is at Ty D. Butler.
There we go.
Yeah. It's a beautiful poll. What did you write? The worst postseason exit in the last 4 years. Astros 2017, Red Sox 2018, Astros 2019, Rays 2020. Where do you think I voted?
So I'm cutting the Red Sox. You think they were just better. The 2017 Astros, you said you're cutting. So it comes down to the 19 Astros and the 2020 Rays. You said the Rays are just a better organization. I've got to go 2019 Astros. You lost on a walk-off home run.
What you just did there, you should work for the FBI.
Wow.
The deep dive you just did with my psyche and knowing me and how I think was unbelievable.
And was I correct?
Well, I wouldn't have given you that praise had you not been correct.
I thought you were setting me up for a downfall there.
You were just like a profiler.
There we go.
It was incredible.
Listen, they don't give these jobs. They don't give these jobs to just anyone.
So you're right. The 2019 Astros is my vote. Which by the way, they're very slimly leading this voting. Astros at 33.8%, Rays at 32.1%, Red Sox, which I think is just the wrong answer, at 18.9%. From 2018, and the Astros from 2017 are at 15.2%. All right, I want to continue with the baseball, and then we'll get into the basketball from last night. You guys are adorable, and I'll tell you why. It's kind of the reaction is somewhat pathetic, but we'll get into that at about 10:15. 800-919-3776. Let's go to John in Queens. John, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Dave. So I'm just wondering, the Yankees have done this in the past where they put in their closer an inning early. They did it the night before. They put Chapman in the eighth to get the final out.
Right.
Then I saw last night the seventh inning. How many – he's your closer. You got him one inning.
No.
I think is plenty.
You're barely pitching the entire series. He didn't pitch games one, two, or three. You pitch him for like 23 pitches the night before. You're in a win or go home. They did nothing wrong. Who would you have wanted in the ninth inning last night in the game?
Well, I wanted Garrett Cole to go longer. I think he had
Garrett Cole almost allowed another home run. Garrett Cole was on fumes at that point. No?
Chapman's a fastball pitcher. So, it's you time the fastball when you got guys
John,
blocked.
you make it sound, I mean, this is such Monday morning quarterback. You make it sound like he allowed five hits and seven runs in two and a third. He allowed one hit, One moment that cost him.
One moment. Yeah, but
I'm not denying it. It's a huge moment. But so you didn't want him in there in the ninth inning?
No, I didn't want him there. I didn't want him in there in the seventh inning.
You didn't want him. You didn't want him just mowing down batters in the seventh and eighth. You didn't want that.
No.
You did not. Why? Who did you want in there at that moment?
You mowed down to the ninth. They have people to put in. Green was good.
Oh my God! Do you know what happens if you have Chad Green in there in the seventh or eighth and he lets it get away?
Well, he didn't let it get away
because he didn't pitch him. Because you shouldn't have pitched him. I mean, you, John, you are the definition, and thank you for the phone call, of Monday morning quarterback. That's what you are. Boone did nothing wrong last night, managerial-wise, with the pitching staff. You should have started Cole. You did. He pitched great. You got him out there. You went to Britton. He pitched great. You got him out. You went to Chapman. He pitched great until he didn't. How about this, by the way? In the last full year, calendar year, Aroldis Chapman has allowed 4 home runs, 2 of them lost series in the postseason. The Altuve and the Brasso, 2 of them. I mean, sometimes just take the medicine. To sit here and tell me I didn't want you, you would have been okay with Chad Green in the eighth? That's what you wanted? You would have been okay with Loaiziger or someone else? That's what you wanted? No, you wanted your best. And your best lost the battle, I guess you say, to their best. I don't even know that that's their best, but to a guy that had a great at-bat. It happens. But stop with that. I didn't want him in there in that moment. When they brought Chapman in the seventh, you were on your couch saying, no, go to Chad Green? Give me a break. There's no way that's what you were saying. No way. Chris in Locust Valley. Chris, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, Dave, what's up?
What's up, Chris?
Not much. Two things real quick. Do you think the Mets dodged a bullet with not signing out Avino? And wouldn't it be so Jets-like if Flacco puts up a dub?
You know, I said that yesterday on the show. I would not be surprised. I don't know, for some weird reason, I think that the Jets have a real chance in this game tomorrow. And thanks for the call. I agree with you. And it would be very Jets-like. Can you imagine if Flacco goes out there and plays a terrific game? Now, I don't know that that's going to happen. I don't know if he's going to give you like 22 for 28 for 311 and 3 touchdowns and the Jets win, 31-13. But I would not be surprised if the Jets won this game. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll just get hammered at home again. But I would not be surprised. And Ottavino, yes, I guess so. But you know what? He's still, you'd rather have him than other guys in your pen. I mean, the Mets bullpen is so bad. I got to tell you, though, I have this and I hope this happens. I want Steve Cohen and the Mets, just Trevor Bauer, who's pitching to every team. I can come there. Baltimore, I will come to you, and San Diego and the Yankees and Atlanta and wherever you want me to go. The Mets. That's where I want you to go, Trevor. The Mets. Come to the Mets. Work with DeGrom. Give us the best pitching staff in baseball. We'll bring in Real Muto. We'll bring in Bauer. We'll bring in LeMahieu. I mean, these visions of grandeur with the Mets right now. We'll see if it happens. Neil in the Bronx. Neil, you're next up by 98.7.
Hey, bad morning, Dave. I would say good morning, but there's nothing good about it.
I understand,
it,
so Neil. I got you. I'm here for you. What do you got?
All right, I got 2 things for you. The lack of offense killed the Yankees, and Chapman's karma. I mean, check this out, Dave. What are the odds that the guy that Chapman threw, he was trying to take his head off,
yep,
is the same guy that gets the game-winning home runs? That's stuff you see in movies.
It is unbelievable. It really is. And by the way, he never even served that suspension, which is preposterous. But yeah, I mean, Brasso crushed that ball, had an incredible at-bat. Chapman let it get away. And you're right, though, Neil. I think the crux of what happened last night is that the Yankees offense, and we've seen this in huge spots in the postseason, was non-existent, was dormant, was awful. 3
Horrible.
Hits. Neil, you had 3 hits.
Horrible.
There's not a lot to say. Thanks for the call. You had 3. You had the biggest game of the season, and you had 3 hits. I mean, you can analyze it. I didn't want Chapman in there. Analyze it until he blew in the face. It's fine with me. You had 3 hits. LeMahieu was 0-for-4. Stanton was 0-for-3. Voit was 0-for-3. Voit hit 111 in this series, by the way. Urshela, 0-for-4. Gardner, 0-2. Higashioka, 0-2. Ford, in a strange pinch-hitting situation, 0-1. You had Hicks, you had Judge, you had Torres. You had one extra base hit last night. One. Spike in Jersey. Spike, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, and I learned quite a bit listening to the the analysis of last night's game. Losing is much more painful than winning is pleasurable. 100%.
Spike, you've never said anything more correct in your life. Losing is way worse than winning is great.
100%. Yeah, now I feel for my friends, Ty Butler and Chris Canty. They maybe took a double hit last night, albeit I don't think the Lakers will lose. But just a quick statement on that game. Danny Green has to make that shot. I'll leave it at that.
He wasn't even close on it. At least get close on it.
He's a kid from Long Island. He's got a track record of being on winning teams. So there's no nerves involved there. He just missed the shot, and it's a mismake league. But getting back to the Yankee game, Kevin Cash and Choi were both on the Yankees for cups of coffee, if I remember correctly. And Kevin Cash is a tough guy. He incites his team after the game stuff. That's a little immature, but that happens, and I'm not going to knock that. They were better than them. And by bringing Anderson in, who I understand is their best relief pitcher, or was one of their two best relief pitchers early.
In the third inning, for God's sakes.
Right, it was a shrewd move. And now Chapman, he just said it. 2 out of 4 times they were game winners. It could have been another home run with Gardner making the catch. Look, they were the better team in the shorter series. They don't have better players or more well-known players. So I'll leave it at that. Houston, this is an interesting dynamic that you brought up. That Houston and Tampa Bay. So, I still have to go with rooting against the Astros. They cheated and didn't pay the price in my eyes.
I you're right, but, I mean, they didn't pay the price, but they're still here. They're still standing.
That's the irony of the whole thing. Imagine if they come away and win the whole thing. Then what do you do?
I can't envision that. And Spike, I think the Rays will have their way with them. And if they do, you say it's 2020.
The Rays might have won their World Series last.
No, I don't think so.
Because I want to see Houston get spanked. I don't like cheating.
All right, Spike.
Be well.
I appreciate the phone call, and I like you, even if you don't like Houston. How about that? The team that just literally danced on your grave last night. You dislike Houston so much, guys. That the team that just danced on your grave playing your song and laughing about it and chirping at you, you'll root for them in the ALCS. Now, Ty, will you watch, like really spend time watching the ALCS, or is it going to be tell me what the score is when the game is over?
I'll watch it. I mean, I produce a national show, so I should be informed about what's going on.
You have to get that in there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I'm just giving you the reasoning for my.
Yeah, but you don't have to sit there and watch 3.5 hours of the game. You could do highlights.
I've got multiple screens. I've got multiple screens, so I'll have it on one of the screens. I'm not going to be dialed into every pitch as I would have been with the Yankees and Astros.
What do you have, like a Rick DiPietro setup? You have multiple screens?
I've got 3 screens, or actually, including the TV, I've got 4 screens.
4 screens.
Yes.
Wait. So you have one TV?
One TV.
An iPad.
No, I'm not including the iPad. I've got two computer monitors and a laptop.
And a TV and a laptop.
Yes.
Wow. You're like the Jetsons in your house.
Listen, I would assume you have a similar setup. All the money you're making at this station.
I messed up. I should have put 3 TVs on the wall because I'm an idiot. We did not. So I have in my living room, we have a beautiful television, 60 inches.
There we go.
But it's just one. So
I mean, nothing that can't be corrected, right?
Yeah, but at this point, I don't know that's going to happen anytime soon.
You make a lot of money at this. Now, according to you, you are the voice of the station, so I would imagine that you've got the funds to afford a beautiful setup.
Well, I also have 2 kids who do a lot of things.
But they're old enough to,
Old enough to what?
Be disciplined.
Well, so should, they should not play sports?
No, but you
should not eat food?
Yeah, I mean, listen.
They should not wear clothing.
If we're going to prioritize what's important, I would say as a talk show host, you watching games over them playing sports files under that.
I should have you negotiate with my wife.
Let's do it. And she loves me, by the way.
Loves you.
When I was
she
at the bar mitzvah.
She didn't know that she loved you, and then she's spent a little time with you, and she's like, he's just a lovely guy.
Well, listen, I can't wait to be over for dinner once this COVID situation is over.
2022, we'll have you right over.
There we go.
2022. All right. Did we break yet? We didn't, right?
We did not.
So we need to do that now.
Yes, we should.
Let's do that.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
The people are upset, and I need to perform at the level that has become accustomed of this segment and this show. So, Ty, are you ready to start this beautiful little Stump Rothenberg today?
I can get a tattoo right now on my arm that says Born Ready, my friend.
You could, couldn't you?
I could.
If I go 10 for 10 today, will you get a tattoo of me on your back?
Yes. If you go 10 for 10 today, I'm getting the Dave Rothenberg tattoo right on the back of my neck. How about that?
Yeah, there's no way you would do it. There's no chance you would do that.
Oh, I would. 10 for 10?
10 for 10. I got to tell you, if we're like 5 for 5 and we're out of time, we're going to take this till we'll run into Anita show if we have to.
Disrespectful to RJ Bell, my friend.
Well, you know what? A tattoo, my face tattooed in the small of your back, I think it would be unbelievable.
It would be.
Now, great conversation for you every time you went to the beach. You're like, why do you have that?
Stump Rothenberg.
Here's what you should do. Here's what you should do. You should just get the two words. It doesn't need to be my face. Stump Rothenberg.
Hashtag Stump Rothenberg. All right, let's do that.
Stump Rothenberg.
Let's do that. And I swore I would never get a tattoo because I'm not into that kind of thing.
Right.
But
I don't think you have to worry.
You go
I've never
10
gone
for 10.
10 for 10.
Yeah, now I'm actually regretting I made that bet.
It's not going to happen. Let's see if we can go one for one. Kathy in Yorktown. Good morning, Kathy. How are you?
I am great, Dave.
Good. Now, if you guys were smart, by the way, you'd give me layups. Everyone would give me layups. I go 10 for 10. He has to get hashtag Stump Rothenberg. But go ahead, Kathy.
Okay, well, as a happy Mets fan this morning, Dave, I actually have a history question for you this time.
Okay.
Okay, who is the only president to have served also as a Chief Justice in the Supreme Court?
Repeat this again?
Okay, there is one president who, after his term, also then served later as the Chief Justice for many years in the Supreme Court.
Was it Taft?
It was.
The 27th president of the United States. Ty, that's one for one.
Yeah, I'm not feeling good about what just happened there.
Stop
I mean,
it.
That on the level of difficulty scale, that was probably at a 9.5, and
stop
you nailed it.
I'm saying
I'm not feeling good about my situation.
I got to be honest with you. I would say the odds of me, and I'll update them through every question, the odds of me going 10 for 10 right now were at 6%.
Yeah, but it's going to continue to go up as you progress.
Of course it will. But now, if they were remotely smart, they would give me baby questions. Like, where did Lawrence Taylor go to college? Who, you know, what was Phil Simms' completion percentage in Super Bowl 21? Like those kind of questions.
Yeah, but they root for me. They like me more than like you.
To watch you get a tattoo that says hashtag Stump Rothenberg, oh my God. It would be one of the great pleasures in everyone's life. And on a day like today where everyone is so upset, this would be such a bonding experience.
Yeah, I say no. Let's continue.
Steve in Brooklyn at 6%. Steve, you're next up on 98.7.
Kind of want to make an audible and give you a softball here. But,
see, that would be the way to go.
You're a big college guy, so I hope this isn't too hard for you then.
All right.
Basketball. Duncan Robinson is the second former D3 player to start an NBA Finals game this century. Who is the other?
Start a game this century. Boy, this is going to take a lot of thought. God. I mean, I just got to think of the Spurs. They have any teams? The Cavs? They have any of these guys? The Heat? I don't know. I think. I mean, I might be able to get it if I had like 15 minutes, but I don't know that I'm going to. So he went to Williams. That I know. I don't know that I know. I think the back tattoo.
Hey, unlike Duncan Robinson, this player did play his full 4 years at that D3 college.
Did he? I don't think I know it. I hate to waste the whole segment just in thought. It's a good question. Ty, did you know it?
I did not, but what I will say is the only way to go 10 for 10 is if we get 10 questions in, and so far,
well, I told you,
not a great start.
We will just continue along, no matter what happens. But I don't...
A guess would be nice here, Dave.
Devin George.
And you got it.
Are you serious?
Yep.
All right, I'm clearly drawing dead here. You got a D3 question correct, and now you've got a Supreme Court question as well.
Did he go to Virginia Wesleyan, by the way? That was such a pull, you have no idea. Oh, 2 for 2. I still wouldn't worry. You're at 11% though right now. Let's go to Joe in Staten Island at 2 for 2. Joe, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, I'm here to protect Ty's deck, like Wu-Tang said, all right?
So. Come on. Well, don't you want to see him have to get a Stump Rothenberg tattoo?
Nah, man, your ratios are askew. I'm 7-1 against you, so I'm here to protect his neck.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Go ahead.
All right, name the only two players in Major League Baseball history to go back-to-back, not once, but twice in the same inning.
I don't understand this question. Two players, MLB history, to what?
To go back-to-back, not once, but twice in the same inning.
So... Ty, can you explain this question to me? Do you understand it?
Yes. So, in other words, if Gary Sanchez and Aaron Judge are batting third and fourth, they went back-to-back, and then in the same inning, they went back-to-back again.
So, they hit the two of these guys combined for 4 home runs in the same inning?
Correct. I mean, if you get this, I might as well leave the studio now and call the tattoo parlor.
Now, I've heard a story about two guys, but I don't remember their names. Can I get last names, or does it have to be first names?
No. That's not baby you here. You're a professional. You've done this segment a couple of times. You're not getting an easy out, especially on a day like today when I've got so much at stake here.
Would you make this guarantee forever or no?
No. Like, if you, like at any point, if you go 10
if
for 10?
If I ever go 10
no,
for
no,
10.
No. That is anxiety.
So I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
You're a hustler because you say that and then you nail it.
That was such a guess. It popped into my head. It totally, yeah. It absolutely popped into my head.
That big old head of yours.
I mean, Brett Boone and Mike Cameron, I think. Because I remember Cameron had the 4 home runs, but I don't. I know minor leaguers did it. I'll go with Boone and Cameron, but I'm confident that I'm not right.
You are correct, my man.
It is Boone and Cameron?
Yes, it is. Versus the Chicago White Sox, 2002.
Wow. Oh, no. That's 3 for 3. 18% tie. 18%. I'm pulling them, too. Michal and Elizabeth. Michal, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. First of all, excellent take on LeBron. Completely agree with you. But here's my question.
Yep.
NBA geography.
Oh, God.
So you're certainly familiar with the slogan that the Toronto Raptors use, "We the North."
Yes.
And but you may not be aware that there are actually two NBA cities that are more north than Toronto. Can you name them?
Two? Now, we're supposed to do one. Right, it's only
you wanted to do
be...
one out of two. That's like, I guess that's a little bit easier because I think one's
well,
kind
I think,
of obvious.
I think, well, I mean, Ty, isn't that true? We're supposed to only do one.
We are so only supposed to do one.
So I'm gonna say Portland.
You're absolutely right, and the other one.
And the other one I would have gone with would be Minnesota.
You got it. Yep.
Ty, that's 4 for 4.
Pretty impressive. Thanks.
Thank you. I am a genius. I mean, I can't help it. We're sitting here at 4 for 4.
We are.
You're nervous.
And the anxiety is building.
And I'm being completely sincere when I tell you this. I still absolutely do not think.
You're a hustler, man. Of course you're going to say that.
No, I don't think you
will. Do I get an opt-out clause?
I would absolutely give you an opt-out.
Like if we get to eight.
If I go like 7 for 7, I'll start offering. Like you can start to buy out.
Okay.
Four for four.
All right.
Well, we're at 26% right now. 26%. Should we take one more?
Let's do it.
Chris and Bethpage. Chris, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, I have a question I think you may get, but to protect Ty, I can switch to a geography question.
Now, Ty, I'm going to let you rule because your back tattoo is on the line. I think it's unfair to switch, but right, I will leave it up to you.
I don't know if it's unfair. He's doing it before asking the question.
But we don't know that the question's a decent question.
Yeah, so he's putting
It's a good question. No, it's definitely a good question because I heard the last question, and it's similar to the last question.
The replacement really question is as good as the original that you had.
Yes.
All right, Ty, if you're okay with it, I guess I'm okay with it.
The first question.
But just know, if it's an awful question, I'm going to be upset with you, Ty.
All right, let's go with the original question.
The original question.
All right,
my original question. Which person served the least amount of time as a vice president in the United States?
Person served least amount of time as vice president of the United States.
Yep.
So who was killed the earliest is the question, and then that guy moved up. Now I can take that, right? Like I can take an assassination of the president as.
Well, Dave, I've learned something in 3 years with you. You guys don't like when I give hints, so I'm not giving.
Well, I'm not looking
hints
for a hint, but I just want to make sure that that's within.
Well, Dave, it's the question simple: who served the least amount of time as the vice president of the United States?
So I think it's John Tyler, but now I'm having second thoughts. Because William Henry Harrison died very soon after becoming president. So that's what I'll say. I'll say John Tyler.
And you would be correct.
For five. 43%, Ty.
We've got a problem brewing, Dave.
What would that be?
Because it has been brought to my attention from a very high-ranking official here at the station, that you might be cheating.
What? You know what? How dare you?
You might be. Do you want me to read what that person said to me?
Sure.
Or said to us, because you are included in the text exchange.
Okay.
He says, I am commissioning an investigation into Dave's web browser history. That Cameron Boone answer was Googled. Too much time to answer.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. So, I mean, obviously it's someone that's anti you getting the tattoo. They're very protective of you. They look at this. Obviously is someone in a position of management who is fearful that there'll be repercussions on the station if you are forced to get this tattoo.
I respect the fact that he included you in a text exchange because typically when I'm being ripped, they don't include me. They just send it to you.
Good. Which is fine. But
so
I'm
he's
five
got
for
some
five.
Class.
There's no cheating. If you went on a lie detector at the moment, I believe you would say, I do not think he's cheating. If you missed the first half of Stump Rothenberg, and I feel badly for you if you did, Ty made it just a nonsensical claim. Exclamation. He said, if you go 10 for 10, I will get a back tattoo that says hashtag Stump Rothenberg. We laughed, we joked. One for one. Two for two. Three for three. 4 for 4, 5 for 5. We're 5 correct questions away from a shady man in a tattoo parlor putting hashtag Stump Rothenberg on the lower back of one Ty D. Butler. 800-919-3776. Brian, you're the man that's in house witnessing what's going on right now.
Yes.
Are you nervous? Are you excited? Are you gripped by what's happening?
I think I'll get more nervous if you get 7 for 7.
So for 7 for 7 and panic for Ty.
Panic for Ty. Like, I will feel nervous for him.
Do you think that I could be 9 for 9 and a question will come and I'll know it and just be like, yeah, I don't know that one because I'm that good of a guy?
Ooh.
You think there's any chance of that? I'm that good of a guy.
I'm right now 50-50. Depends on the question.
Okay. Twitter's all lit up too, by the way.
I could imagine.
All lit up. And I swear, because I remember Mike Cameron and Boone being in conversation. It was a guess. The one that I think shocked me even more was the Devin George, because I had no idea, and I just thought back to like the 2000-ish finals, and I remember him, you know, number three. I think it was number three, Devin George on the Lakers, and I remember he went to like a Virginia Wesleyan. But the very, very fortunate today.
That was
all right. Insane. Deep breath. Continue. Mike in Farmingdale. Mike, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, what's going on, man?
What's up, Mike? Are you all nervous right. for Ty right now, Mike?
I mean, yes and no, because me and Ty had a conversation about my question, and he thinks you're going to get it. But I've been holding on to this one because I don't know.
Do you want me to? Do you want me to go 10 for 10, or do you feel like you wouldn't want to have him endure that?
No, listen, I always want you to be awesome, which you are. But you know, at the same time, hashtag Stump Rothenberg is rough. As a
you're not kidding. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so the first baseball game played after 9/11 was Mets Braves.
Yes.
Who started for the Mets?
So Piazza hit the home run off Steve Carce, by the way.
Yes, that's correct.
And I believe it was 9/21 of 2000.
Also correct.
And won. Mets won that game, I believe, by the final of 3-2.
Yeah.
I think Matt Lawton led off in right field, if memory serves, for the New York Mets. And I believe it was left-hander Bruce Chen who started the game.
That's where you're going?
That's where I'm
going. You are correct. Sorry, Ty.
For six. And I'm sure that your moles at the station, Ty, will say, oh, he was cheating on that. I remember that game.
Well, you're stalling, man. Like you're going through random facts that don't pertain.
You're panicking. All right, Ty. Here's what I'll do.
What's up?
If you buy me a gourmet dinner, the back tattoo is off the table.
Oh,
right,
funny
now.
You say buying you dinner, as if we don't have a bet
no,
already.
I owe you a dinner.
Okay.
I owe you a dinner.
Sure.
So this right now would wipe away that dinner.
Okay. Now let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Can I hold this opt-out until 9? Like, in other words, can we get to 9 and this is still on the table?
The dinner will go and every time will now exponentially increase.
Okay. So I'm going to pass on the dinner.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. 646. 800-919-37. 76. Brian and Purchase. Brian, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
Good, Brian. How are you?
Good. I really enjoy your show. I listen all the time.
Thank you.
I'm sorry to be the one that's going to save Ty from the back tattoo.
I don't know why you would want that, to be honest.
Well, I just feel bad for him. So,
all right.
Well, anyway, let me ask you my question.
No question shot here?
I don't think you're going to get it. I mean, it's a mainstream question, but I don't think you're going to get it, but let's
okay.
see. Name the boxer to span all this time that fought Muhammad Ali, Larry Holmes, and Mike Tyson.
Ali, Holmes, and Tyson. So it's not good. So I'm thinking Trevor Burbick, because I know he fought Tyson. And he definitely
I'm sorry, Ty.
Homeless.
I tried.
Oh, you're giving it to me already? So I'll go Trevor Burbick. Seven?
Okay, so listen.
For seven.
You did not even submit an answer. And he started vomiting all over himself. I mean, we can't include that.
Ty, stop it.
We cannot include that.
He panicked. He panicked.
We got to bring him down. We got
to
bring him down.
It's not my fault. He got nervous. He got overwhelmed. He said, I'm going to get you, and then I get it right. And he's like, oh.
Well, so you're,
I can't help
so
it.
So now you're a boxing aficionado. You're a historian. You're a geography expert.
All right, so that's seven. I mean, and I know it took me too long. I understand. Seven for seven. Ty, if you were what would be a good alternative for him at this moment?
He said no to the dinner, right?
He said no to the dinner.
A gourmet dinner.
Up it because I'm 7 for 7.
This is the part I said I was going to get nervous for Ty. I'm getting sweaty palms over here because like this is getting too serious.
All right, Ty. When you have your child at some point,
oh boy,
in the future, and we're all excited for that, I will be allowed to choose the middle name.
So obviously that no, I'm gonna turn that down.
You're gonna turn that down.
Well, and because my wife would never allow that, so it's never a bet that could come to fruition. Like that's out of my
all
hands.
All right, you know what I'm gonna do?
It's out of my hands.
I'm going to even give you a better out than that.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm listening. How about we just end this? It's 10:59.
Do you envision getting a pet at any point?
At some point, I have to. Although I'm petrified of dogs, it's going to have to happen because my wife's really into that.
Oh. I will name the pet.
You get to name the pet?
That's actually a good out.
Okay.
I will name the pet.
It is such a good out. I'm going to reject it, and we'll move on to the next one.
All right. 8 for 8. I got a beauty, by the way. Let's go to Gordon in Florham Park. Gordon, make it easy, Gordon.
Oh, Dave.
Yes.
This isn't my question, but you know what Elvis Patterson's nickname is, right?
Toast, yes. Next.
You're about to be toasted.
Oh, wow. Very confident.
Thank you. Dave, here's the question.
All right.
There have been 5 actresses to play Marilyn Munster. Now, everyone knows Pat Priest. I'm going to give you the opportunity to name 3 of the other 4.
Now, Ty, and I'm going to need you to chime in here. It's not supposed to be multiple answers.
There have been times where we've allowed 2 at a maximum. So, I mean, we can go 2. That's on the table.
I mean, if that's what you'd like, is that where you're going to...
Yes, let's allow 2 be the answer we go with. 2 answers.
Now, I know that Beverly Owen is 1. But now I run into trouble. And I still think this is somewhat unfair. And I do not think I know it. I don't know it. I'll just be wasting time. I don't know it.
Is Hilary Van Dyke, Elaine Hendricks, and Charity Bakefield.
Was Beverly Owen the 1, though?
She was 1.
Yeah. All right, I think it's Fugazi, to be honest. Brian, I'd like your assessment of this.
I don't like this.
Should we still be at 7 for 7 or no?
Oh, my goodness.
I'll let you be the arbiter. I really will.
I don't like the pressure on this. Because this is...
No, it's all on you. You're the arbiter. Either tie wins, we go 7 for 8 and we're done, or we're still 7 for 7 and we move along.
I think we're 7 for 7. I'm sorry, Ty. I did not like that question.
I think it was a terrible question.
Yeah, it was too many choices. So.
A terrible question. All right. And Ty, deep down inside, you know that was a terrible question, don't you?
It was not, but we can move on. Let's go.
Jim in Cedar Grove. Jim, it's 7 for 7. You're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Thank you. Yes, I hope this is hard enough for you, Dave.
Okay.
It's a music question.
All right.
It's I'm a huge Rush fan, so with Neil Peart passing this year,
all right,
it's going along those lines. So who was the original drummer for the band Rush?
Original drummer for the band Rush?
Yes, sir.
John Rutsey, I believe, was his name.
You got it.
8 for 8.
Ah, okay. And that that's okay. Left me speechless.
All right, Ty. 8 for 8. I'm willing to exchange this and stop right now.
Okay.
If you were to receive a nose piercing and wear it at work for 1 full week. Okay.
So, I mean, there isn't a single person on the planet who thinks I'm going to accept that. So
Ty, it's 1 week of a nose piercing. 1 week,
no,
that's it.
It's not happening.
All right, Brian, you can't say I didn't offer him something very fair.
I think he should have took the pet name. That's when he should have stopped.
If I offered you the pet name right now, would you take it?
No, let's go to Sal. I've got a lot of faith in my man Sal in the story.
He probably has some brutal questions. Sal Astoria, Sal, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Ty, I'm going to try to save the day for you, kid.
Are you nervous for him, Sal?
No, I'm not nervous. Because I think I'm going to get you this one.
All right, you might.
The only pitcher in modern baseball history to hit 3 home runs in 1 single game.
Pitcher to hit 3 homers?
In 1 game, that's correct.
All right. I don't know. It's going to be forever ago, too, isn't it? All right, I'm going to guess, and it's not going to be a stud pitcher. I'm going to guess, because he was a good hitting pitcher. And I know if I get it right, Ty's going to cry and whine. And if I get it wrong, I'm fine. It'll still be an 8-1. Rick Sutcliffe.
No.
All right.
There we go, baby. There we go, Sal. My guy.
The guy's name.
My guy.
What's the answer?
Oh, it was Jim Tobin.
Jim Tobin?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
There we go, all right. Sal. My favorite caller of all time. Anytime you want to get on the air, Sal, you're first up, my friend.
Let me want to ask you an honest question.
What's that?
How nervous were you?
I was, as the people would say, shaking in my boots.
I got to tell you, that was a sensational addition.
Listen, can I just say this? It reminded me of last night. Like, you're watching Game 5, Yankees-Rays. You're not enjoying it. It's not entertaining for you. Now, it's all the listeners are entertained. This was stressful for me.
It's a bad job by Sal, by the way.
What a great job by Sal.
He should have given me a layup, but no. He didn't because he's a bad guy. We were two questions away from you getting a back tattoo.
My public approval rating, as far as our listeners are concerned, is higher than yours.
No.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
The great RJ Bell. Good morning, RJ.
No buffet, but in my mind, I'm there.
So all you the just Danishes. Missed one of the great radio segments in the history of the medium.
Yeah, see, I heard the end of it, and it reminds me of one thing. My wife is not a big sports fan, and the last time the Giants were in the Super Bowl, and this is a true story, she came walking by the TV late in the game, and you know, exciting ending, remember? And I said, hey, you might as well sit down here. Like, you don't watch sports, but this is amazing. And about, you know, 15 minutes later, she got up. She goes, all right. And then from then on, she never sat down. She goes, you know, I heard what you said. I watched what you said was the best. Didn't really like it. Not my thing. That was the best, what I just heard?
You're a bad guy.
No, I'm just saying.
People from other parts of the world are texting and tweeting.
What is it like during the bad weeks?
Well, no. See, I don't think you realize what was on the line.
Yeah, I don't.
If I would have gone 10 for 10, he would have. I'm not saying that the questions were the best or the answers were the best. What was on the line, you should appreciate. You're a gambler in Vegas.
But what was the 10 for 10? What would have happened?
If I would have gotten 10 for 10, he would have had to get a back tattoo.
Oh, my God. You know he would have just disappeared.
That said hashtag Stump Rothenberg on his back.
And how big did it have to be?
Small would have been fine, but I think what you didn't appreciate, and I wouldn't think someone of your ilk would, what I don't think you would appreciate is every time we got to like 7 for 7, I gave him an out. 8 for 8, I gave him an out. I said, do you want the out? And he said, no. 8 for 8, the out was a nose piercing for a week. He said, I don't want that.
I heard that. Now,
you
do realize a nose piercing, if you have it for a moment, it's going to leave a scar. It goes through your cartridge or cartilage, so it actually leaves a scar in people.
Well, that's not my concern.
So you wanted to scar him?
Well, I guess
I can appreciate that now. That, to me, all joking aside, Dave, was the problem with the game. He thought it was so unlikely you could get the ultimate consequence.
Well, he's
wasn't,
right.
He wasn't really considering the other consequences.
Ty, how nervous were you as I was 6 for 6, 7 for 7, 8 for 8?
Oh, no. On a scale of 1 to 10, I was at a 10.5.
He was panicked.
Well, his voice didn't change an iota, first of all.
Because I'm poised. I'm a professional. I know what I'm doing here.
Number two was
poised,
one of
yet panicked.
Hold on a second. Was one of the potential alternative consequences he had to have a pet name?
No. When he gets a pet in the future, I get to name the pet.
And he would. Oh, he must have been scared. He wouldn't give you that one.
He wouldn't even give me that one.
Yeah. I mean, geez, I'd give you that one for $10.
Well, you know what? You're a smarter guy than he is.
But I'm not getting a pet though. So.
I don't see you as someone that would be good with a pet.
Not at all.
No. I honestly, and this is sincere, and you know how I feel for you, I don't think you'd be good with taking care of anything. Like, you are
an RJ guy, first
and foremost.
I take care of something if it has a direct benefit to me.
But you love you, right?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I love me, and I'm critical. I'm as hard on myself as anyone, or harder, to be honest.
So you don't envision a child, a pet, anything?
No. In fact, I mean, that's, you know, been a decision in a way. I told my wife, and this is the truth, I said, you know, we've been married over 10 years, and so, you know, the kind of made the decision, and I said, listen, here's the way it would work. You do 90% of the work. I do 10% of the work. Now, follow me here. But I do 100% of the money. You do 0% of the money. So when you add it up, I'm going to have a net responsibility of 110 units. You're going to have 90, but I don't mind if you want that deal.
And she took that deal.
She didn't. She said, you know, I want someone to do 90% of the work. Because she works full time. And, you know, I said, yeah.
Wait, so you're not 100% of the money guy.
No, no, no. What I'm saying is, she has her own. She banks that. She's got that for herself. Because I said, hey, you want to go work? You know, motivate. If she wants that, that's awesome.
I feel like we're living in the 1950s. Like, yeah, no, no, go work. It's awesome, Hazel.
Hold on a second. What else could it be? What would be the? What's the modern era, Dave?
I mean, the wife should work, right?
Well, no, no, no. I think you actually got that a little messed up. I think I would say like this.
I don't want you to get yourself in trouble. So
no, listen, I talk on air all week. I don't get myself in trouble because I just, hey, if what I believe gets me in trouble, then I'm in trouble. What I was going to say was, and I don't think I'm going to be, is I think that ideally a woman has a choice. I mean, in a perfect world, if she wanted to stay home and be a homemaker, which is a job, Dave, by the way. Then,
yeah, but not when you don't have children.
No, 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 for sure, for sure. And then at that point, yeah, the choice at that point wouldn't be do nothing. I guess it was more do something ambitious, because what she does now is like potentially like sometimes 50, 60 hours a week. It's like an ambitious where it's
so
more
it's a career.
It's a career. That's a good. Great distinction. Yes.
Good. Good
but,
for her.
But to me, I think there's nothing sadder and I'm going to say both of these. If a woman wants to go work, but she can't but because the man's old school, I think that's sad.
It's ridiculous.
And in reverse, though, if she would so much rather be a homemaker, you know, with the kids, but she can't because of the financial reality, a lot of people face that. But that's a lament, too, to me. It'd be nice if they were in a situation that she could do what she wanted to do. I just want them to do what they want, Dave. So I hope that doesn't get me in trouble.
No, it won't get you in trouble. If you're tuning in to hear his pick on the Panthers Falcons, you're going to have to wait because RJ is first going to let you know.
Oh, by the way,
I got a tip.
I got a tip for you on that one.
Yeah.
Here's what I think we do. I think you made a mistake for the last year or two. I think because I make picks every Thursday, 4:45 on Miss.
Yeah, here we go.
No, it's Mr. Michael K. It's just right. A sign of respect.
Mr. Michael K, right.
And then
now, are you still not okay with Don and Peter, or you are okay?
No, actually, I've won them over. I don't want to say sycophant.
No, sycophant. Yeah, no. I don't. I'm saying, like, do they like you? I know you like them.
No. Oh, God, no. No, no. I never have really liked them, but now I've started to a little bit. But I'm saying they're so flabbergasted at my winning. They're right. Just, it's like a lot of sir. It's a lot. You should listen. It's one of the high rated segments in the entire station.
And I know Michael's very, very respectful of you.
He is. I mean, like this week it was like, you know, he usually says the great one, you know. So Stephen A used to say that, the great one. So I don't know. It just seems
many people think Wayne Gretzky's about to join, but no.
It seems weird that you don't care, like you're not that way. You know what I'm saying? You know something?
I have unbelievable respect for you, but let's get back to it. So I've been messing up for the last year or two because I haven't what?
Well, one second. Tell me if this makes any sense to you here. One second. And again, I'm not making a big deal about this. I'm just trying to give you a little context. Is that fair?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
RJ Bell.
Were you able to hear that? Let me try it one more time for you.
Talking about the great one, RJ Bell.
See, that's how Stephen A does it. And Dave, if you don't feel that much love for me, that's on. I mean, I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying it puts you in the minority.
So you need constant confirmation. I look at you as like a child. Like for looking up to me for approval. Dave, did I do well? Can I have another cookie? Can I please? Like, you're terrific, RJ. You don't need my approval. You do a great job.
And you know,
if you
it's
don't
weird.
Get constant ego stroking. Then all of a sudden, it's but Stephen A. loves me. And Michael K. loves me. You're terrific.
It is weird, Dave, that I care, but it just shows you the esteem I hold you in.
All right.
Here's my tip.
Let's start this again. He's talented, it oozes from his pores.
Ooh, okay.
He's a winner in every aspect of life, specifically in the world of sports gambling. He is the one, the only, the great RJ Bell.
Dave Rothenberg, I so appreciate that appropriate introduction. Here's my tip for you, though. We should go over every game, all right? And two things. One, we should have a minimum number of games each segment, because that way we don't hit the end. And
you have to rush through.
No, yeah, I don't want to overrush because I feel like I'm denying the audience some potentially good info. Number two, I don't think I should hold back any picks. I should tell you, it should almost be a live stream of consciousness, as in, here's the picks I'm considering. And then the last 60 seconds of the entire show, right? The climax, as it's called in the business, what you do is ask me, okay, now we've talked it through, the three games you like best, or the two games, or the four, which one's going to be your official Saturday morning late breaking? Because this is it. This is my last segment
right.
on the station.
And it could be different than the ones that you've given us for
or at minimum, I've given a different one to the different shows the entire, and again, I do your show at 10 a.m. on Friday, not as prestigious of a time, but still. And at that point, it might just be a choice between the two, but to get the best bet, all right, almost like McDonald's and the scratch-off cards, you got to have all of them. To get the best bet, you'd have to be here on Saturday, Dave. It might help your ranking. My ratings
would.
Are fine, but yours.
It's nice to see you looking out for me. So that's what we'll do. We'll organically, as they say, run through the games.
Yes.
The final 60 seconds, RJ's going to give us his best bet, although it kind of pushes people towards the back end of the show so they can go away and come back. But the conversation is going to
no,
be too award-winning.
No, because here's the thing. They know you're erratic. It could be a couple minutes earlier. It could be a couple minutes later. They're there, baby.
You're too much. 800-919-3776. I don't want to overwhelm you with calls, but if you have a call that you want to get into RJ, a gambling question, you can as well. We're going to run through every game. Couple of games are not going to be played when they're supposed to, right? Broncos, Patriots. We don't know if Cam Newton's going to start. Stidham will be the starter if it's not Newton. I'm completely perplexed, RJ. The Titans are 6.5-point favorites over the Bills.
You know something? Here's the thing to keep in mind at any odd site. And
honestly, this is the most bizarre spread I've ever seen in my life.
And here's the thing is – let me ask you this. What do you think the line would be if it were Stidham? How much adjustment do you see with Cam?
That's not the line that has me crazy. The line that has me crazy is Titans are giving 6.5 to the Bills.
Oh, okay. So here's the thing is what happens is, not to get too technical, but the odds when the game's off the board, oftentimes if it's not a bettable number, but you'll see at all the sites, a dummy number is up there.
So so I can't bet it at 6.5?
No, that is not bettable.
Okay. All right. So you would agree with me that that number would be absolutely
yeah,
safe.
And my guess is that the Titans are going to be at a disadvantage, and, you know, the thought would be it might be about pick 'em that game.
Yeah, which is what I would have thought.
All right, there you go.
Okay. So that's a placeholder, as it would be.
Yeah, but it's an error. I mean, meaning it's not an ideal way to go about it. But let's be honest, not that long ago, the interest in lines was not something you would spend, as much as we wanted to have the best ones out there, the industry was what it was. Now, as the money starts flowing.
But why wouldn't they just put it off the board for the moment?
It's actually, for those who program computers out there, what it is there's an RSS or an XML feed, and what happens is to push one out when you don't have a new value is difficult.
Okay. All
and
right.
It's an error, really, effectively.
Okay.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.